Off the ball.
I guess I was that bit younger in your Premier League days. I didn't realise the Irish accent had survived this much.
I have to crank it down a bit with English people. And when I first started on Sky TV, they were very, very conscious of certain words I couldn't pronounce. Words with TH in it I found very, very difficult, so I'd have to practice. I'd be dreading them saying, was it a Thursday match and whatever, and they were trying to explain to me there was a H in the word Thursday and it wasn't T-U-R-S.
Off the ball.
Weeknights from 7 and weekends from 1.
This is OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
So, the Ladies Gaelic Football Association has a new president. Micheál Nochtain became the 14th president of the LGFA when succeeding Marie Hickey over the last couple of weeks. And I'm delighted that Micheál is with us now. Evening, Micheál.
Good evening, Nathan. How are you?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
A proud day, no doubt, for yourself and all the family.
Yes, a very proud day, basically, for myself and for my family, and also for everybody involved with the Four Masters Club in Donegal Town, and also Donegal as a county and Ulster as a county, because basically I'd be the second president to come from Ulster. And I mean, and again, I would have ties to West Sligo and Sligo, and basically, you know, I could have first Sligo president as well. That, so probably killing two birds with one stone on that.
It's good for canvassing votes, all right, when you can spread your wings and make sure that you have plenty of home spots. Was this a long-held ambition to become president?
No, Nathan, it wasn't. It was something basically that, you know, saying, well, probably I worked, you know, been involved in that, got involved, you know, with the local club going back over 25 years probably, and that in the Four Masters Club underage, basically, you know, worked with the underage girls and leading Four Masters to a first county title in 2006, and then got involved with Donegal County Ladies and that in 2009, and led them to an All-Ireland in 2010, and then various administrative roles along the way, I mean, being the club chairman, county chairman, and Ulster president, that. So basically, you can say I started at the grassroots of it, and I worked my way up. And basically, it was at Congress in Killarney that basically I was approached by a few counties would have been interested to let my name go forward. And that was the first time I stopped to think about it, to tell you the truth, Darren.
So, like any good president, you're putting a lot of stock in the first 100 days. What's top of the list in what you want to achieve?
And that, well, basically, I mean, you know, that what I want to achieve is basically, you know, the more promotion of our games, you know, getting our games out there, more collaboration with the GAA and with Camogie, and building on the foundations that we have already started. And there is, you know, great work being done there. You know, no later than yesterday, basically, I would start up the Gaelic Players Association. I mean, and that will be launched next week. And that a giant collaboration between the GAA and Camogie. And as I say, I mean, again, basically, this is the stuff that's going on behind the scenes that people don't see. And I mean, and I want to be basically part of that and work with that basically more. And, you know, working towards maybe us all coming to one association in the future. I mean, but look, I mean, we're working along the roads on that direction. Also, basically, what else would I like to see? I would like to see basically, you know, the retention of our players and that in the association, and that probably looking at 2020 and the year that it was. And I mean, you know, the two positives that would have come out of it probably was the club and the use of technology. So again, it's building probably on the use of technology and getting our message and getting our courses and basically out to each corner of the country, but not alone the country, but also the world in relation to basically giving courses online to basically to our members, that basically they can do these courses, and also basically building on the club scene and that. And I think that Gaelic Players Pathway is another link into that as well.
Yeah, you're right that a lot of the negotiations understandably go on behind the scenes, and Marie Hickey, the outgoing president, said in her final speech that the links with the GAA and the Camogie Association have never been stronger at national level. How close are we to one organisation over the GAA, Ladies Football, and the Camogie Association? Is it something you think can happen in your four-year term?
I would like to basically, you know, tie myself down to that. I mean, but yes, I would be hoping that we'll be a lot closer. Like any basically, you know, coming together, I mean, you know, it takes time, it takes development, and it's taking making sure that we have everybody, you know, and everyone gets the respect and basically, you know, that their sport is, you know, they get what they want first, and that's important. But definitely, I would look forward to that. I mean, I would think that, you know, the direction of the web camera the last number of years has been huge. If we make the same, you know, strides in the next 4 years, I have no doubt that we won't be very far away from it.
What would you see as the main benefits if and when that happens?
Well, again, Betty, you know, again, it's a promotion of our games. Again, probably, you know, in relation to funding and grant aid, and that would help. Betty, you know, the access at the moment to pitches and grounds, I mean, you know, will be all another help. And again, probably, basically, that you would look at the calendar fixtures, and that means sort of, for Betty, you would have your standalone probably in the calendar fixtures for everybody. And that would be all a progress. But I mean, there is a lot of work being done at the moment. There's a lot of that in place, and that means, but, you know, again, with all, each organisation, I mean, you know, they are so big, and you should take the Ladies Gaelic Association. I mean, you know, we would be basically interested, basically, you know, that we keep our own presidents, that, you know, we keep our own rules, and that we'd have our own Congress. Because basically, you know, if you were to put them all into one organisation, you know, the Congress would go on for a week and that. So, again, basically, it's about basically, you know, all working together, but basically, you know, and you know, there's huge work going on at the moment, because basically, if you come into to the Ladies Gaelic at the moment, basically, you would have to do one course. And I mean, if you're involved with the GAA, you have to do another course. But now, basically, with the Gaelic player pathway, that's what we're trying to eliminate. That basically, the one course will work for you, let you be involved in the GAA, or let you be involved in ladies football, or let you be involved in camogie. And that's a huge plus going forward.
By and large, when we talk to players and managers, they're very much in favour of an amalgamation, but you're clearly very in touch with the grassroots of the organisations, and these things are never straightforward, and there's always concerns as to what would happen to the smaller organisation when you go in. What are the main concerns if you're talking to those grassroots members about an amalgamation, or is actually everybody pretty much on the same wavelength?
No, everybody, you know, is pretty on the same wavelength, to be fair. I mean, you know, I think anybody involved in sports or any organisation, let it be the GAA, or let it be Camogie, or ourselves and the Ladies Gaelic Association, the one thing we want, basically, that we get basically the best, basically, for our players, that we get them the best standards, we give them the best, that they can basically, you know, partake as being the best they can be at the sports. And we want to put basically what, you know, obstacles, I mean, they'll be in their way to eliminate them. And definitely, you know, we have come a long way, but we know that a long journey is still to go, because basically with the Ladies Association, you have senior, you have intermediate, and you have junior. And basically, you have to make sure that you're bringing every county and every club with you. Because the last thing we want is basically counties to fall out or clubs to fall out. Because basically, we want to bring more players in. We don't want to put big financial pressure on clubs or county boards that basically, you know, the fold. And that's the last thing that we would want as an organisation. So basically, it's taking the right steps, but making sure that you're bringing everybody with you. You just kind of go off on a solo run and maybe bring, you know, the top senior counties. You have to make sure that you're bringing the smaller clubs and the smaller counties with you as well.
Yeah, when you talk there about the various levels of senior, intermediate, and junior, and you think of the All-Ireland final day and how you get to have all those together, there's probably some things I think that the GAA could learn from that as well, as to how successful it is and how important it is for some of those smaller counties to get that day out as well. When you look at the success of ladies football, and it has been an incredible success over recent times, from 80,000 members at the start of the century to nearly 200,000 members at the moment, double the amount of clubs, has the sport almost become too big for the administrative side, that you need everything there in terms of the resources that the GAA could offer to bring it to the next level?
Yes, I mean, but it's like a progression. I mean, and basically, you know, we have, you know, an office staff there now. We have 16 in the office working full time for the Ladies Association, and that. So again, basically, you know, and with the men's organisation, or the GAA and with Camogie, that basically, you know, there is more help there, there's more support, there's more committees and that. And basically, you know, we're getting our members on these committees as well. And that's helped along the way. But you're right in what you're saying. Basically, you know, we have grown. And I mean, and that's great credit to basically, you know, to our CEO and the staff in the office and everybody at club level. They made sure that basically ladies football has come to the stride that they have. But I mean, you know, we will work with these people. I mean, we have to listen to these people and we have to be guided by these people. But I mean, you know, Little has done a huge lot for our association, also has Tina G. And I mean, and basically, you know, Little has basically invested so much in our association over the last number of years. And you see at the moment, basically, the ad on RTE at the moment in relation to level the playing field. I mean, and basically, it's getting the word out there, getting basically, you know, our name out there, getting our games to be sold. Because the more people that sees our games will want to be involved in our games. And, you know, we talked about just there previously, the weaker counties. You know, like them getting to Croke Park and All Ireland finally, getting in there, I mean, getting out, and people in their counties then, and the young girls in their county see that, see them girls in Croke Park. And that's basically what it's about. And that would bring more people into our association. So the more coverage and the more of our game times that we can get out there, let it be in Tina G, let it be with Little or with RTE, the more that all helps our association to build it going forward.
Ladies football, by and large, has been a good news story over the last couple of decades and has been on the right path. But there's no getting away from it. Hit a major pothole before Christmas with what happened in the All-Ireland semi-final between Cork and Galway. I'm sure everybody remembers that the match, unfortunately, had to be moved from Parnell Park to Croke Park. It meant that the throw-in time was brought forward. The Galway team only ended up getting 7 minutes on the pitch to warm up, which they were very unhappy about. They lost the game. They're not putting it down to that, but they lost the game, and their manager, Tim Rabbitt, was very critical afterwards of how it was handled. What was your view on what happened that day?
And that, well, Nathan, basically, you know, we've got to put everything in into context. And that, I mean, you know, 2020 was not a year like nor other. I mean, and again, you know, we set out basically as an organization, we set out to make sure that we give the players the best chance. Basically, you know, that they can be, that we put the best facilities in place, and that we basically run our day to perfection. But unfortunately, what happened basically on that day, basically, you know, with the frozen pitch. But I mean, just going back a step or two prior to that, I mean, unfortunately, this game should have been played two weeks prior, but I mean, it was changed due to Jude players for Cork and that would have played for Camogie, and we changed the fixture to suit that. Again, basically, on the morning of the game, when we did found out that the pitch wasn't available, both county boards and both managers were rang, and they were happy to go. They were given the choice basically if they wanted to go the following week. And again, we appreciate that would have been tight. But unfortunately, we never leave our fixtures that tight because basically it was a time of year and 2020 was no other. If you look like 2019, basically the first time ever our All-Ireland semi-finals were in Croke Park. If it was the same as that, basically, you know, our All-Ireland would have been in Croke Park.
Yeah, look, Neil, clearly there were many extenuating circumstances. I think we all accept that ideally the game would have just gone ahead in Parnell Park and none of this would have ever happened. But when you look back at what happened on the day and the Galway players, hey, Sinead Burke, one of the Galway players, said the next day that it felt like a punch in the guts when they heard Marie Hickey talking on RTE about doing something brilliant by getting the game moved to Croke Park, but never actually asking the question, could the men's game be moved back half an hour so that the throw-in time didn't have to be changed? So for players of your organisation to be speaking like that, when you look back on it, are there regrets? Are there things you feel should have been done differently at the time?
Look at Nathan, you know, look, hindsight is a great thing. And definitely, I mean, you know, would we do things different? Could things be done better? Of course, you know, we could. But look, I mean, you know, it's not a blame game here. I mean, you know,
it's not a blame game, but at the same time, you know, we do have Helen O'Rourke, who is the CEO, writing in her annual report talking about it, saying the Galway manager was particularly aggrieved in his post-match comments and his dealings with the media over the days following by not having enough time available to the warm-up. It's regrettable that a manager who was so gracious earlier in the day for the efforts that were made to have the game played and who had requests for additional time met would then turn around and try and destroy the integrity of the association and the people involved after the game. So when we talk about the blame game, it is the CEO of the LGFA who there is very much involved in a blame game many weeks after the incident and turning it back on Tim Rabbitt, the Galway manager. So it does feel as though there's people within the organisation who feel that they didn't do anything wrong and can't understand what the fuss is about.
No, in fairness to Helen O'Rourke, our CEO, basically she was stating what happened on the date. And I mean, and according to her, basically, you know, I mean, Tim Rabbitt, basically from Galway, basically was happy with the game going ahead. I mean, they were asked with the time. I mean, they were happy enough. Basically, you know, Tim asked basically for the game to put back 10 minutes, which it was to allow them time. And basically, you know, the feeling we got, you know, we did the best that we could have done in the circumstances that we were in on that day. You know, to be fair to Tim and fair to Helen that basically, you know, the understanding from the Lady Gaelic, I mean, you know, Galway were happy to go with the game, the Manchester were happy to go with the game, and Cork were happy to go with the game, and that's why the game took place. But look, I mean, you know, as I say, I mean, basically, you know, if we keep looking back, we don't move forward. And, you know,
I think this was such a big issue that if you want to move forward, when you see the disgust that was there around so many players, and we broadcast several shows around the final with inter-county players who were already knocked out, and it's what they were talking about as well. And I think it is relevant to going forward when we're talking about a potential amalgamation with the GAA, because you look back to December 2020, we're coming to the end of the 20 by 20 movement, that the LGFA felt at the time had such a strong hand to ask that question, that if they'd asked the question, the GAA really would have had no choice probably but to move the men's game back. But they didn't take that opportunity. And if you're on the outside looking in and negotiations are starting now with the GAA, you'd be a bit concerned that are the LGFA in that case going to go in with a strong hand to those negotiations to make sure you get everything that you're entitled to, when there wasn't even somebody willing to ask, could we move the game back?
No. I mean, you know, I'm not conscious of what happened exactly, what they mean. But I mean, I will say it basically, I mean, I know there were issues there with the men and with have gone out live. But look, I mean, you know, in relation to the ladies, I mean, you know, we have a great organisation. We are very strong. I mean, we wouldn't have built the association that we have and have got the numbers. I mean, you know, definitely, I mean, you know, we will always basically, you know, working to make sure that we get the best deal that we can get for our association. And basically, and you know, probably the deal might be the right word to me. Basically, you know, that we work together with the GAA and with Camogie to have the best outcome. And basically, you know, these are some of the issues that will be alleviated if we probably all, you know, working off the one fixture plan and that.
Do you think somebody from the LGFA maybe needs to talk to Tim Rabbitt about this, about the concerns of him? I know he's finished up in the role, but of the Galway players who, listen, they're not trying to say they would have won the game, but this is for them the biggest day possibly of their careers. He said nobody from the LGFA, including the president, contacted him since the All-Ireland semi-final speaking about the events. The Galway players haven't received an apology that they deserve. If lessons are to be learned, let's start there. Do you think somebody just needs to make that call and start to progress so we can stop looking back at this and so we can start kicking on into 2021?
Look at Nathan. I mean, our doors are open. You know, my phone is there. I mean, anybody can ring me at any time. I mean, you know, if we did something wrong, I'm not hesitating to apologize them for it. I mean, and you know, as an organization, I mean, I don't believe in, you know, holding grudges. Basically, I mean, as I say, we don't set out this to upset people. We don't outside basically, you know, to make plans go wrong for county players or for county managers. We know basically the time and effort that they put into the association to make sure that their team gets the best preparation. And that's what we as an organisation try to do as well. Unfortunately, this incident did happen, and that means it's not basically what we pride ourselves in the association. But I mean, you know, we have plenty of, you know, associations, you know, as I say, like last year, the 2019 All-Ireland semi-finals, Warren Cup Park, which was a huge occasion. I mean, so definitely, I mean, you know, we will set out, make sure that we do the best that we can. And I say, I mean, anybody, you know, is always open to us, basically. I mean, a phone call, an email, we have no problem communicating with anybody or chatting to anybody. And I say, in relation to what happened last year, my understanding was basically everybody was happy on the day, basically, when that game took place. That's all I can say, association, that basically everyone was contacted. The county boards were happy and the managers were happy before the game took place. And if there was an issue with that, basically the game would have been put back to the following Saturday.
Yeah, well, listen, I think at the time maybe they would say they didn't fully realise what was happening and had assumed that the questions had been asked. So, listen, I'm sure this is probably not going to go away straight away, but none of this would have happened, obviously, if COVID hadn't been an issue. And COVID, unfortunately, remains an issue in 2021. Have you been given any sense yet from government about a potential return for the inter-county game? And have you a plan within the LGFA as to whether it will be inter-county or club, or will you go in concert with what the GAA are doing with their season?
Again, basically, you know, there's a meeting next week in relation to, with the government and with NPHET in relation to, you know, the roadmap going forward. I mean, again, basically, you know, we'll be guided by them on that. you know, probably looking at the moment, you know, our National League season probably should have been played at this stage. You know, again, we sit down with the executive and basically Central Council and look at what is the best way going forward. Basically, if the guidance coming back that we go with club, start up with club, well, then that's what we do like last year. If it's just inter-county, well, then we'll have to look at, do we play a league? I mean, get a few rounds in, or basically, do we go into championship? So these things that we'll have to discuss, but the first thing that we have to wait for, we have to get a date and we have to get a time to get basically put a plan in place.
It has been such a brilliant success, the amount of young girls who are starting to play Gaelic football, and you go to any nursery or academy around the country and it seems to be growing all the time. Have you got any sense as to how that is being affected by this absence, where we're going to be going on 3-4 months at least without any sort of a training session? Some kids may not have played a game in a year, never mind the adults. Have you any sense within the organisation as to the long-term effects it might have in terms of numbers? Because you'd made such progress over the last couple of decades, you got to be concerned that there may be a bit of dropout now as well.
Yes, you're always fearful at that. But I mean, looking at it, and basically, you know, listening to the clubs, I mean, you know, they're doing stuff online and that. I mean, you know, the positive that we'd have to look at basically is probably the uptake in our courses and that online, which the numbers probably would have tripled hugely. I mean, so that's very positive. But again, Betty, you know, the where girls want to be is out playing on the field, and we're all 100% aware of that, and we want to get that happening as soon as possible, because basically, you know, the sense of enjoyment, the sense of pride, they get out there meeting their friends and playing in sports, and you know, for their well-being and their mental well-being, it's hugely important, and we want to get that happening sooner rather than later.
You spoke about the aspirations there for the next 4 years. I think one you spoke about at Congress as well is maybe getting that full house sign up at Croke Park in All-Ireland final day.
Yes, I mean, you know, in the last two years, Nathan, we have met our 3 years, probably 2018, basically, we were over 51,000 on that day. 2019, our attendance was at 56,000. So again, definitely, you know, with building the organisation, but also, I mean, at Croke Park level, it's a build at county board level and at club levels. And again, you know, basically promoting our game as much as we can, and basically, you know, getting the figures increasing. That's definitely what we want, and that will be our stride going forward.
Yeah, here's hoping. Micheál, you've been good with your time. Very best of luck over the next 4 years.
Thank you very much, Nathan.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.